Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 11. I will be reading from the NIV. Hear the word of the Lord. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by this sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life into your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Man, thank you, Tom. Thank you, worship team. Good morning, Trinity Church. So good to see you here this morning. I'm Pastor Jeff Gangle. Just welcome you here and glad that you've chosen to be part of our corporate worship time together today. We are in our discipleship series for this year. We started this a few weeks back, starting with spiritual formation as our beginning topic. Moved from there 2 weeks ago, we talked about spiritual fruit in our lives. Last week was a spiritual snow day, and so we hadn't planned to put that in the series, but God put it in the middle of the series, so we got a little break in between, and now today we're following up with spiritual disciplines. Next week, looking at spiritual gifts. And the emphasis is on the role of the Holy Spirit in our development and our discipleship. And so glad that you're a part of this. And let me just say, it says this in the bulletin, but let me remind you too, as you follow along, we're really encouraging everybody at Trinity. If you're a regular part of Trinity, then go to the website. You just go right to the banner that says D201, and you can pick up audio of the sermons. You can get the video of the services. You can get to the every week we're doing some study and discussion questions that go along with the message. So whether you're in a group or you do that on your own, I encourage you to do it. Dig deeper into every one of these weeks for your own personal spiritual benefit. And it's put all that right there on the website where you can access it anytime that is convenient for you. It really was a great week. Jason mentioned this and involved this in his prayer, but it was such a great start. This was our first event really at Tate Elementary School this past Thursday, and I went there in the morning and it was awesome. We had over a dozen Trinity volunteers there, just everywhere, filled in the room and in the hallways, just welcoming those teachers as they came by to get some goodies. Table spread with all kinds of goodies just to show them that we love them, we care about them. And so this is the start of what I believe is going to be an awesome ministry and opportunity that God's given us as a church to partner with and love on this school and the families, the students, the teachers, the staff. And so keep that in prayer. Really encourage you to do that. And let's go to prayer now together as we go to God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great privilege of coming together and singing your praises. Lord, these reminders of your great love and your goodness. Lord, we desperately need those reminders of who you are, your character, your attributes, so that we will not forget, so that we will not try to live our lives any day, any moment, without looking to you for your help and guidance. And Lord, so as we enter into this, continue with this series on spiritual life, Lord, teach us these lessons on what it means to walk by your Spirit, to be led by your Spirit every day. Lord, thank you for giving us that precious gift of your Holy Spirit to be at work in us and to grow us in our faith and to move us along in this spiritual journey that we're on. And so as we come to your word this morning, we're asking for the work of that Spirit, your Spirit in us, to help us understand and apply and practice the truth that you're giving to us today. And ask, Lord, that your Spirit would guard my words. Help me to accurately, rightly communicate what you once said this morning, knowing that it must be the power of your living word, your work in us, to change us into the image of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray this morning. Amen. So what do you think of when you hear the word discipline? The image that comes to my mind is a paddle hanging on the principal's wall in my elementary school. Now, I didn't see it because I was in his office often, and I never actually felt that paddle. But I could see it because there was a window in this principal's office door, and when you would walk down the hallway, you just peek over, and you could see that ominous paddle hanging on the wall. To me, that represented discipline. I've mentioned to you that there were times where I had to stay in from recess and write sentences on the board. That's another thing I think of when I think of discipline. Because we often, when we think of discipline, we think of punishment, right? And sometimes discipline is a form of punishment. But this morning, when we're talking about spiritual disciplines, we're not talking about spiritual punishments. Now, Webster has a couple different definitions. We'll put these on the screen for you here this morning. The first definition actually is that one of punishment, or to penalize. But the second definition really fits our purposes better: to train or develop by instruction and exercise, especially in self-control. That's what spiritual disciplines do. They are exercises to help train and develop us spiritually. Much like a treadmill, you get on a treadmill or an elliptical or whatever, and you do those exercises, that machine is helping train you physically. Those are spiritual disciplines. And the word discipline, as you might have guessed, is related to our overall word of our series, and that is discipleship or disciple. Discipline is an element of discipleship. But it's not as common in terms of what Christians typically know or typically do. So I looked this up. There's a Lifeway is a Christian publication company, and they did some research on this, and they asked Christians, they asked churchgoers about their spiritual disciplines. Let me just read you a few things they found. This study showed that 19% of churchgoers read their Bible every day. That's a rather disappointing percentage, by the way. I'm sure it's higher here at Trinity Church, but 19% read their Bible every day, compared to 68% of pet owners who exercise their pets daily. There's a whole lot more commitment to pet exercise, seemingly, than Christians or churchgoers have to reading the Word. Here's another one. 48% of churchgoers pray every day. A lot better job there, a lot better percentage. That's almost as many Americans who floss their teeth every day. Flossing actually wins, because 49%, praying is 48%. Almost half, for another 49% of Americans, visited the dentist in the last 6 months. Way to go. Only 15% of churchgoers fasted in that same time period. So I just read this to remind us that if you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, spiritual disciplines, what is that? I don't know that I've even done that. You're not alone. It's not very well known. We don't talk about it much. It's unfortunate, because the Bible does talk about it. So this morning, we are going to talk about it as a part of this series. We're in the middle of D201 on spiritual life. We've mentioned as we've gone through last year, remember, we did D101. That was a focus on the gospel and what it takes to come to faith. And so this year, in the second year, in 201, we're looking at what it takes to live by faith. Once you've come into that relationship with the Lord Jesus, how do you live the spiritual life? So that's our focus for these 4 weeks and our discipleship emphasis for this year. And here's how the four sermons and parts of the series fit together. I wanted to put it kind of in a flow, in a sentence, so you see the connection. These are not just four isolated messages. They all flow. So here it is. The Holy Spirit was given to us to conform us to the image of Christ. That's the first week. We talked about formation. How does he do this? By building us into the character of Christ. That's the fruit of the Spirit. and by teaching us the habits of Christ, the disciplines we'll talk about today, so that we can do the work of Christ. Those are the gifts. We'll talk about that next week. And again, as we go through this today, let me encourage you, you may not catch everything, because we're going to look at a lot of different passages. If you don't get everything written down, it's all on the website. You can go and follow up there and catch it there. But this idea of habits as disciplines really is catching, really grabbed my attention. A number of years ago, I read a book called The Jesus Habits. Very creative way of thinking about how Jesus lived his life. What were his spiritual habits? That's what we mean when we talk about disciplines. And so if we're going to pursue the spiritual life, if we want to grow spiritually, if we want to have this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we need to learn how Jesus did that. What were his habits? What were the disciplines that Jesus practiced? And so that's our first point today, is Jesus lived his life being led by the Spirit. Jesus lived his life being led by the Spirit. And at first you may think, well, of course he did. That's rather obvious, Pastor Jeff. But when you think about it, we often don't just take that for granted. In fact, a lot of times what we think is that Jesus lived his life as the Son of God. He was God, and he was. But Jesus came fully God and fully man. And in the incarnation, Jesus chose to set aside some of those divine attributes and powers and to live instead the way we must live, by the power of the Holy Spirit leading him and guiding him through his life. Let me give you some examples of this, because sometimes we don't notice this as in the life of Jesus. So I'm going to run through these passages. We'll put each of these verses up on the screen so you can catch them. It starts at Jesus' baptism, because that launched his ministry. Remember, the first thing he does publicly is he comes to John the Baptist and he's baptized. And Matthew 3:16 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Here God sends his Spirit in an invisible kind of form so that everybody could see that God was putting his Spirit, anointing Jesus with his Spirit. And then Matthew 4:1, the very next thing, it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the first thing he does after the Spirit comes upon him, the Spirit leads him and leads him right out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. What about Jesus' ministry? Luke 4:14. After those 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Now he's going to begin his teaching, his ministry, not on his own. He is beginning his ministry in the power of the Spirit, Luke tells us. Luke 5:17, he tells us that the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And although Luke doesn't specifically say there that was through the Holy Spirit, we can assume from what he said in Luke 4 that that's probably what he's talking about here. Jesus does his ministry in the power, led by the Holy Spirit. Then you get to Matthew 12:28, and Jesus is questioned about this very thing. He's saying, by what authority do you do this? Do you heal and do you cast out demons? Jesus says, if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And that's exactly what had happened. The kingdom of God had come. Jesus had come. And he was functioning, ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 10:21 even tells us that Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit. His very emotions and attitudes and responses were guided by the Holy Spirit's work in his life. And Peter summarizes this beautifully in Acts 10:38. Peter is describing this, and he tells how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. How was God with him? In the form of the Spirit. See, Jesus did not fly solo. He didn't come to earth to do this on his own. God the Father anointed God the Son with God the Spirit. The entire Trinity was involved in this ministry of Jesus. And because of this incarnation, because of Christ's coming, we can see how to live the Spirit-filled life. We see it in Jesus. I have some wonderful news to share with you this morning. A lot of you already know this because it's almost 2 weeks now, but on February 4th, Beth and I had our first granddaughter. We had three grandsons, but this was the first girl. Our son and his wife up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, had their little girl, Lottie Louise Gangle, 8 pounds, 5 ounces. We happen to have a picture. How about that? It just showed up on the screen. Look at that. There she is going home from the hospital. Beth is there this week, kind of helping out and getting to hold the baby, so she's loving it right now, I'm sure, this morning. You know, nowadays, when you have a baby, if you or your family, your grandkids, your kids, whatever, have had babies recently, you know this. A lot of times that's aided by a doula or a midwife, or in my daughter's case from a couple months ago in the fall, an entire crew from the fire station was there to help with the birth of that baby. That wasn't planned, just the way it worked out. It, in a sense, it takes a village to birth a child nowadays, it seems like. So when our kids were babies, when they were born, Beth had one birth coach. It was me. She was stuck with me. If we hadn't gotten to the hospital for real help, I don't think our kids would have survived childbirth with only me there to help. And when you think about our spiritual birth and our spiritual lives, God has not left us alone. He has sent His Spirit. And the life of Jesus illustrates for us the need for God's Spirit at work in our lives to help us walk in faith. So how did Jesus do this? How did He practice this? How was He led by the Spirit? How did He walk by the Spirit? How did He live by the Spirit? All those things we've talked about in the last few weeks that we are called to do, how do we do it? How did Jesus do it? Well, here's where we learn from the habits of Jesus. Now I'll come back and look at the disciplines, the habits. What were the things that Jesus practiced on a regular basis that kept Him in touch with the Spirit's work in His life? Well, again, we're going to run through a number of passages here, so kind of keep following. The first one, even though some of these are almost like side references, but they're key to Jesus' ministry. The first one actually was a big part of His ministry. We already mentioned it. After His baptism, Jesus spends 40 days and nights in the desert. And usually what we associate with that is the temptation of the devil in the desert there. And that definitely happened. But Jesus didn't go there just to be tempted. He went there to practice spiritual disciplines. He went there for solitude. He went there for silence. He went there in fasting. He went there in prayer. He was practicing a whole number of spiritual disciplines for the 40 days and nights before He ever preached a sermon, before He ever healed anybody. It was spiritual disciplines. Those were His habits. And you see that throughout His life too. This commitment to solitude and to prayer especially. Let me give you a few of the verses right there. There's a number more. You could find places where the gospel writers are just saying, Jesus went off by Himself. He went up on a mountain. He went to pray. Constantly you see Jesus doing that, pulling away to pray. Luke describes it, maybe captures it in Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Have you ever really thought about that? If Jesus was God, and He was, why did He need to spend time talking to God? Didn't He just know all that automatically? No, He needed time in prayer. And if Jesus knew that He only had 3 years of ministry, and surely He knew that, why would He waste time going off by Himself to a mountain? There were all the crowds, there were disciples to train, there were things to do. Why would He pull away? Spiritual disciplines are important, because solitude and prayer was important even for Jesus in order to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit. He found that help in the disciplines. So in His humanity, Jesus depended on the strength and encouragement of the Spirit to help Him lead a spiritual life. And then Jesus taught these habits to His disciples too. So you go to Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Now he takes Peter and John and James with him, and they went onto a mountain to pray. It's like, okay, guys, you've been seeing me do this. Now you come along and do this too. And numerous other times where Jesus took his disciples aside and he showed them, taught them the importance of these habits, these disciplines. He invited them into these routines to be re-energized by the Spirit. And then he promised to send the Spirit too. The Spirit who would continue to do the same thing for them after Jesus was gone. And so John 14, 26, here's the promise that Jesus gives. John 14, 26, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said." Now, please don't miss this. The work of the Spirit is to teach us and remind us of the words and the ministry of Jesus. To teach us and remind us of the words and the ministry of Jesus. To teach us the spiritual habits of Jesus. That's what the Spirit does. He can lead us. He can walk with us just like he did with Jesus. This is great encouragement. It'd be great help for us to see Jesus depending on the Spirit in the same way we can depend on God's Spirit at work in us. I brought my power toothbrush to church with me today. Not because I forgot to brush my teeth before I came to church and just grabbed it on the way out. Actually, to show you kind of an illustration, an object lesson this morning, if you will. It was years ago when my dentist suggested that I stop using a manual toothbrush and get a power toothbrush. He said, you know, when you brush, I mean, you're getting in there and you're going at it, but you're scrubbing your teeth and you're wearing out your gums because you're going back and forth instead of up and down like you're supposed to. If you get a power toothbrush, it'll do it right. You put it in your mouth and do it. So, okay, I heard what he said. I didn't really want to do it because I didn't want to spend the money on a power toothbrush. I mean, when you can spend a buck on that kind of toothbrush, why'd you spend $80 on a power toothbrush? I didn't get it, but I did it. And then when I started using it, if you've ever used one of these, you know when you turn it on, and then you put it in your mouth, it's a little uncomfortable at first, especially you hit a tooth. I mean, it rattles your brain in there. And so I struggled with even using this power toothbrush at first. But I kept using it. Got used to it. And so it sits in the power station, on the sink, at our home, in our bathroom at home. But I still have to pull it out of the power station, put the toothbrush and water on it, turn it on, and put it in my mouth. I still have to use it. It's like the spiritual disciplines. Jesus has shown us. He said, this is the way. Let me show. I've shown you in my life how important these habits, these disciplines are. You should do this. And it may be a little awkward. It may be a little uncomfortable at first. But try it. But if we leave this sitting on the counter, if we never pick them up, if we never try them, if we never put them in our mouths, we may be missing some things that the Spirit wants to do in our lives, ways He wants to work in our lives. That's the value of spiritual disciplines. It's a way of accessing that power of the Spirit in our lives through these practices. Spiritual disciplines help put us in touch with the encouragement and counsel of the Spirit, which leads to our second point today, and that is that we must live our lives being led by the Spirit. Live our lives being led by the Spirit. So back to that Romans 8 passage that Tom read for us a few minutes ago, because that's where Paul talks about this, how much we need this. He's reminding us that when we put our faith in Christ, everything changes in our lives. We move from death to life. We move from being enemies of God to being the children of God. We move from being governed by the flesh, our own selves, our own will, our own way, to living life according to the Spirit, Paul says. I just want to read for you just that last verse in that passage once again. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11, Paul has been showing us, proving to us. He says, if you are in Christ, if you have a relationship with Christ, you have the Spirit. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, that he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. See, the whole purpose of Jesus sending his Spirit is to bring life to our mortal bodies, to help us do what we cannot do on our own, and that is live the spiritual life. It's his gift to us. I'm sending my Spirit to help you. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have all the help, all the power, all the counsel, all the encouragement that you need to live the Christian life. It's right there in the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that gift. But we need to listen to him. We need to accept his help. We need to take his advice. We need to believe his words when he speaks to us. And that's how spiritual disciplines help us. They put us in a position to do that. They put us in the right place where we can be led by and hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll make this very clear, because this is often a mistake. Spiritual disciplines are not activities that in and of themselves make us more spiritual. In other words, you don't just get spiritual by osmosis by doing these disciplines. It doesn't work that way. Instead, they are activities that put us in the right place, in touch with the Spirit, so that he can do his work in us. If it was us doing the disciplines, then it would be about our work. No, it's about being in the right place where the Spirit can do his work. It's kind of like, I was trying to think of comparisons. So it's like, if you were to go into a classroom in a school and you were sitting in the desk, just doing that activity doesn't make you more intelligent. But if you go into a class and you sit in a desk and you listen to the teacher and you take notes and you are learning, then there is an improvement, an increase in that intellect. If you're an athlete and you go out to, for instance, the soccer field and they are there for practice and you stand on the field, being on the field doesn't make you a better soccer player. But if you go out on the field and you listen to the coach and you learn and you do the drills and the routines, then that will improve your ability to play soccer. If you go to the doctor and you go and sit in a chair in the waiting room, that in and of itself will not make you better, will not make you well. In fact, it might make you sicker by sitting in the waiting room. But if you go and you are examined by the doctor and you listen to his advice and you take the things that she gives you to do and you do those things and you take that medicine, then it's more likely you are going to get better. You will improve. And so, in the same way, spiritual disciplines in and of themselves do not just make us spiritual. But if you enter into spiritual disciplines to listen and to learn, then you can grow spiritually. So what are the disciplines? We've come all this way. Well, what are these spiritual? I've hinted at a few, but let me give you these, kind of classify these a little bit, because I didn't want to spend time on each one. This could be a whole series in and of itself, each week looking at a different discipline. But I just want to give you an overview. So here are some categories. The first are disciplines of solitude. These are ones that help draw us near to God. They just kind of remove those distractions out of the way that might otherwise prevent us from hearing from him. So disciplines like solitude and silence, listening, prayer, Bible study, meditation on the Word, when we commit ourselves to those kinds of activities, those disciplines of solitude put us in the right place to hear from God. Then there are disciplines of surrender. So these are disciplines that help us yield to the work of the Spirit in our lives and the authority of God in our lives. So disciplines like repentance and confession and submission and fasting and worship. These regular disciplines that put us in a place where we are, say, God, I want you to do your work in me. Take me out of it. You do your work in me. Those are disciplines that help us with that submission, that surrender. And then there are disciplines of service that help us focus on others and what the Spirit wants to do through us in the lives of others. Jason mentioned this 2 weeks ago, right, about how spiritual formation is not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. It's exactly right. And here the Spirit wants to often do his work in us through these disciplines that allow us then to minister to others. So disciplines like fellowship and simplicity, service, giving, witness, discipline practices that allow the Holy Spirit's work to flow through us to others. And some of these obviously come more easily and naturally to you than others. And we're all going to be a little different depending on our personality and our spiritual giftedness. And so, for instance, I love jumping into disciplines of study and of service. I love that kind of activity, digging into God's Word and then serving other folks. And so those come easy for me, and no problem practicing those disciplines. But when it comes to solitude, taking time away and alone and in quiet, discipline of fasting, which could not, it's not always just food, by the way, right? It could be giving up anything regularly in our life just to focus on prayer, to focus on the Lord. That's hard for me. Those disciplines are difficult for me. I tend to avoid them and push them away and ignore them when I shouldn't. Because the goal with spiritual disciplines is to practice the ones that come naturally, but then to begin to develop and try disciplines that aren't as natural for you, to stretch yourself, to stretch your faith, to grow. It was in 1949, and Billy Graham was just at the early stages of his ministry. He was preparing for his first big crusade. It was going to be in Los Angeles. And what a lot of people don't know is that that stage of his life, Billy Graham was being influenced by a lot of people who were challenging the authority of God's Word. In fact, there was one particular rather prominent evangelist who told Billy Graham, he said, if you hold as firm as you are on this inspiration of Scripture, you're going to be committing intellectual suicide. You got to give that up. And so Billy Graham was hit with all the, and he was really struggling with this because his belief had been God's Word is God's Word and I need to preach it as God's Word, but these people were telling him otherwise. So you know what he did? That time before he went to that crusade in L.A., he went to the woods. He went out, got away from everything in solitude, in silence, in prayer. And he just listened to the Lord. And in that time, out in the woods, he knew the Scripture that said that God's Word was God's Word, but he needed to sink into his heart. It needed to become a commitment that he made for good. And so, in reading about this, Billy Graham describes this moment when he's out in the woods and he puts his Bible on a stump out in the middle of the woods and he prays this. Oh God, I cannot prove certain things. I cannot answer some of the questions that others are raising, but I accept this book by faith as the Word of God. That time in spiritual disciplines shaped Graham and it shaped his ministry, his life, for the rest of his life. And if you know the story, you know that he went from that moment, that time of commitment, that time in spiritual disciplines, he went on to that campaign, that crusade in L.A., and God blessed that abundantly. They were planning 3 weeks for the crusade. It went on for 8 weeks because the crowds just kept coming. 8 weeks. And in that time, 350,000 people came. It was just under a tent. It wasn't in a stadium. This was his first crusade. It was under a big circus tent. 350,000 people came. More than 3,000 people committed their lives to Christ for the first time. And Billy Graham went on. That made him notable throughout the country and through the world, and it launched him into an evangelistic ministry that lasted decades. The influence of Billy Graham can be traced back to spiritual disciplines practiced in the woods. See, you can never underestimate the power of spiritual disciplines at work in our lives. God wants to use them to shape our lives. But they come with a warning. So I want to give one warning from Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, verses 16 to 18. Jesus said this, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only your Father who is unseen and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. See, if we practice spiritual disciplines so that others will notice or think we're more spiritual, then we've totally missed the point. Spiritual disciplines put us in the right place. They're personal, private, intended to put us where we can most be led and taught and influenced by God's Spirit. So the goal today was just to introduce you to this idea of spiritual disciplines, to show you the habits of Jesus that might inspire you, then motivate you to stretch some of those spiritual muscles, to practice some spiritual disciplines, maybe ones you've never tried before, so that God can use that as a way of promoting spiritual life and growth in you. You know, like me, many of the men here at Trinity are reading through Tim Keller's devotional book, God's Wisdom for Navigating Life. And when we talk about spiritual wisdom, it's very much the same as spiritual maturity, spiritual growth that we're talking about in this series. So I want to close with something Keller said. This is a couple weeks back, February 3rd, in that devotional. He said this, "It is not just willpower, but a reordering of our desires that will bring wisdom. The way of wisdom is not the way of quick fixes and dramatic turnarounds. It is the way of long training and discipline. It is but to train the heart, not just the mind and the will. So don't just believe in the goodness of God. Savor it in worship and prayer." See, spiritual disciplines can help reorder our desires, our very heart. They represent that long-term training that Keller describes, and they help us to savor the character of God. So spiritual disciplines can draw us closer to the heart of the Father. They can conform us to the image of the Son, and they can help us walk in step with the Spirit. You know, I think maybe part of the reason we had a snow Sunday last weekend was God's intent to help me chew on this message 2 weeks instead of one. I needed another week thinking about this because this has been very convicting for me. I know I need to be more intentional about practicing spiritual disciplines so that God can do His work on my heart. So believe me, if this message was not for you, it was definitely for me. But I hope it was for you too. I hope you find in this something that you need to chew on to, something you need to pray through and think through. Maybe God is saying to you this morning, put yourself in a place where I can do my work in you, where I can speak to you. And if so, I encourage you, dig into God's Word. Look at those disciplines. Take the toothbrush off the power station and use it. Use the tools God has given you to connect with His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these many, many passages we've looked at this morning that describe the life of Your Son Jesus and how He lived in the Spirit, by the Spirit. And Lord, we desperately need that. If Your Son needed that and lived that, then certainly, surely we do too. So I pray that You would teach us the habits of Jesus. Help us to look to Him, look to His example, and put some of those routines, those disciplines into our life routine so that we never miss those moments with You, so that we are in a place where we can hear from You, so that we don't isolate ourselves from Your power at work in our lives. Lord, teach us these disciplines and make us more into the image of Jesus. This we pray in His name, Jesus' name. Amen.